Alrighty, what's going on, everybody? Good morning. How y'all doing? What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hello.
We're back.
Just the three of us.
Yeah. Were you gonna? I would keep going with that song, Dan. I want to see where you head with this.
Just the three of us, you and us.
That's absolute banger. Was that Will Smith? That wasn't Will Smith.
No, that was Dan Thompson. Will Smith sang something different in a little
bit.
I don't think Will Smith was even the guy
about
who
his son, and well, then he was also in Austin Powers, but I think it was a song before
Bill Withers.
He was sampling Bill Withers' song. Yeah.
So yeah, Bill Withers, the OG, Will Smith, Narando keeps singing.
Well, it was Bill and Will. Yeah. No, yeah.
Will.
Then Dan. You missed 100% of the shots that Bill
Withers. I know you guys forgot Mini Me. Dr. Evil and Mini Me sing that song.
Yeah, that's
you guys don't remember?
I don't. So, I've never watched Austin Powers all the way through.
What?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, this was in the second one, so you should watch.
Well, I'll make sure I watch
the. If he didn't make it through the first one, he didn't even come close to the second one.
Did you watch Dumb and Dumber?
No.
Oh my gosh! All right.
I'm the worst movie. Like, damn. Oh man, it's good to be back with you guys. Just us three. We can kind of just dick around for the hell of it. Dan, how's the weather in Tampa, man?
Great. Oh, God. Never been better.
I want to come down and go golfing with you. I want to come.
You always say that, and
he doesn't even know what golfing is.
No, I do. Actually, I worked on my swing for 4 hours the other day with my father-in-law, and it was great.
How'd you shoot?
I shoot about 100.
Do you like, you know, Happy Gilmore and Slapshot?
No, I don't Happy Gilmore it.
We'll pick up on double bogeys.
It's because you're good at hockey. That's why I was saying that. Gosh. Ben Coleman.
Ben Coleman just texted us. Yeah, my grammar's awful.
Ben didn't text me.
No. It's because you didn't make the club. Sorry.
This because he knows your grammar is good.
Yeah, I was about to say he knows you grammar good. I don't. All right. Let's talk about some.
Mirando's not just sitting here waiting for us to talk about the international man of mystery.
I think he is. Hey, September surge. Something I keep hearing about. I'm not seeing it.
September surge.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw it mainly because it's my birthday tomorrow. But other than that,
Do you guys remember Surge Soda?
Yeah, that we've just been shotgun.
That was a while ago. Was that good?
It's back. To answer your question, I have not had a surge in September though.
Yeah, me neither.
We've proposed more in August and September than almost the whole year combined.
You're talking about just proposals going out?
Requests, yeah, RFPs, proposals.
So then technically you may be heating up for what, a Q1?
Yeah, it will start some of those in Q4, then you kind of take a break, you know, holidays and things like that, and then we'll.
Yeah, I owe Jake a Q4 deal here. Hopefully, we find out soon. I don't. I haven't seen a September surge. I've seen a September like softening. Like
really? So you've seen actually?
No, not like a softening in that the number of jobs are slowing. Like the economy, I think, is softening a little bit. So we're starting to see a little bit more openings and stuff like that. I haven't seen the pace necessarily pick up, but I have talked to a lot of people that are starting to see things improve. So if that's a surge, it's certainly a surge from where we've been. But I don't think that there's this huge hiring blitz happening right now.
We've seen a lot of my friends in PE and VC world have made deals in the last, you know, month or way towards deals here. You know, people are also realizing they got to spend something, right? And you can't just save your way to success, right? Yeah. So you gotta still just take risks sometimes and move forward, right? And so we're seeing a good bit of that. We've seen a good amount of vendor consolidation too, right? Where you see like this has been good for us, right? But probably not as best for staffing teams, but you have like a dozen or so people, you know, that are just kind of independently staff augmentation.
Yeah.
Coming in and being like, hey, I need to put SLAs around this. I need management on this. I want to hold you to your feet to the fire for deliverables besides individuals. And so that's been good for our style of work.
Sure.
But I don't know.
And real quick, because it's really just probably Narando and my mom watching us. But real quick, yeah. Jake, what do you do? And Dan, what do you, like? Can you just give a quick background? Because we're talking about this stuff, and if people watch this in the future, like, well, who the hell are these guys?
Yeah. Jake and I work for a company called Vaco.
I don't.
Ever heard of it?
Jake, I was gonna say, technically Jake doesn't anymore. Jake well, works I mean, he does,
for
he does.
Newco Holdings Inc. So I work for Vaco. So I lead our technology practice down here in Tampa. We do a lot of executive search down here, and then we do some consulting. I do a lot of work with Jake as well.
And Jake, what do you do?
Leaded our global technology consulting practice.
Technology
consulting.
You said that real weird.
Yeah, it was the Austin Powers thing. So software, cloud, data, and AI services around the globe.
Yeah. So basically, yeah. So I mean, pretty much, we started this podcast with 30 years of overall, you know, staffing and consulting experience between the three of us. So that's why we started this thing. So when we say things, we're talking about what we're seeing in the market. Because we've been doing this for a bit. So back to what we were talking about. How long do you think there's going to continue to be pain?
I mean, you had a lot of years of very interesting decisions on how healthy companies, what, you know, made a company healthy, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I personally know that there's been like a lot of squeezing a lot of things, but it's also been nice to see from a, I'll say, company sustainability perspective, the demands being put on companies to, I don't know, be profitable or, you know, I don't know, be responsible. And so, and not just having their values based off of rapid growth of users or even top line, but losing money, but finding more of a healthy balance between the two. I think that's going to be the new wave. I also think that with the rise of AI, it's going to make it a lot easier to be profitable sooner.
Really?
If you're using it the right way, right? Because you used to have to hire, especially if you were trying to do rapid hiring of high powered engineering, you know, it's like, oh, I got to go nuts and I got to overpay or give equity or everything way too much to hit your goals that were put upon you. And now there's, if you slow down a little bit, you can speed up a lot more.
Jake, are you still using, you were pretty big proponent of ChatGPT there for a bit. Are you still, can you talk about how you were working it into kind of your day-to-day?
Yeah, so the ChatGPT thing is more like just kind of fun. Like, you know, they're good for like an individual layman's user to be able to dive in. But that's also something that feeds the large language model within what's now GPT-4. And then when you release GPT-5 here soon, which is really more development tooling. And so we're using it to build out either custom workflows or to just build out new components to our platforms or even our internal tools. And so like one of the things we're working on right now is just like an artifact management system for like projects we've done before, reusable snippets of code or design or some of our design systems to be able to make that easily queryable and have those as quick references. And so like that's been a huge lift for us to be able to like cross train and like educate more internally, you know, for ourselves at scale. And so that's been really neat. And then we use it a good bit for data deduping, you know, when we're doing integration work or just any sort of migrations, right, to make sure that things are clean prior to. So
you guys are actively using AI / whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. I mean, then, you know, I think that this is more just this because in the news has shown a lot more light on it. Sure. But just like with the AI driven coding and things like that, like Copilot. And,
yeah. I was like Copilot.
Those have been around for a while. They're just like just now getting understood, you know, but there's been some really interesting articles. You know, it is definitely a love-hate relationship. There's some absolutely terrible things that are very easy to do with AI now, you know,
right.
And will only become easier and more terrible over the next 12 months. So,
yeah, I'm curious to see that. I think that's the biggest impetus to what's going to happen with AI over the next year is some of the legal ramifications. I met with a client earlier this morning and they ban ChatGPT. They're a publicly traded company. They want to make sure that sensitive data doesn't get out. There's a couple other companies that I know that have very stringent requirements about what you're allowed to ask, and you have to get them approved, or you have to walk through with a legal person sitting next to you. So I'm curious to see, you know, some of these large language models and open AI tooling, what that can mean. But Jake makes a great point. There's a huge opportunity for AI, and not the way that like people talk about AI, about you know, robots and you know, satient like things roaming around, you know, the world. There's a lot of different things. You know, Jake and I, you know, work with a company that they're using it for claims processing and
being
like doctor's notes and be able to say, hey, here's pertinent information that you might find out of this 25 page document. So you might be able to go through this claims request in 5 minutes instead of 18 minutes. Right. And you know, one of the things that Jake, you know, because we had breakfast together with this company a few weeks ago when he was in town, was about bottlenecking too. And there's some issues with AI and bottlenecking, and it's now about creating kind of an end-to-end AI solution. And how can we make not just this process, this particular one thing faster, but how can we make, you know, this entire thing done through AI so it doesn't just get bottlenecked? So if you have like a claims processing system, it doesn't matter how quickly you can automate some of that process if it's still a human on the end of it that's slowing things down, right? So instead of having like 20 claims in your queue, if you have 1,000 claims in your queue, you've not done anything faster. You've just put more things into queue. So I'm curious to see how that starts to get implemented across the board too.
Some of that with the just weighting things for ability of where you should put your attention to, that helps to enable, you know, the human condition, if you will. But so, this crazy show earlier this week, it's the spotlight on AI, and they're the ones who had released like the good, the bad, and the ugly on AI, and it's Asa Raskin and Tristan Harris, and they've got some really incredible stuff, just talking about really the good, the bad, and the ugly. But they're also really entrenched in kind of what's happening at a government level, at what's happening at just getting a round table of some of these CEOs, you know, of these large companies to be like, hey, slow down. And once you launch some of these things, you can't put them back in the box, right?
It's like Pandora's box.
It's crazy. I mean, you've got what I think Facebook's is Llama that they just came out and stuff, but they talk about three phases. You know, they did in the first one, they said what came out 10 years ago, and that was with social media. Right. And so, or AI, the way that they were talking about AI then or using it was for curation of created content to be put into your feeds. Right. So basically the bot,
AI has been around forever. I mean, Google is AI, and YouTube is AI. I mean, it's been around.
Yeah. Well, the bot's telling you what to read, but the next one, now we're in the phase two, which is the creation of content and the creation of information. Right. So now they can tell you what to listen to and the, the Center of Humane Technology, the oxymoron of the century. And so the second phase, though, right now is like what we're in right now. And that's what everyone's freaking out about, is that now you can create anything you want within seconds and then use the original algorithms to tell certain markets at certain pieces. Right. So there's just so much research.
We're still dealing with a lot of issues when it comes to AI about, is the information correct that it's being put out, right? If you use ChatGPT and you say, hey, ChatGPT, tell me about a fact about Tampa using the number 123, there's a chance that there's a 123 situation where that can be applied. It could also say, hey, Bayshore Boulevard's 123 miles long, because it doesn't take in certain information to think critically. It is a spew out of information. Right. So it's going to be interesting to see, I think, for a lot of certain tasks, I think for automation or, you know, building code and things of that nature, there's still some definitely applicable ways of doing things, but I still think we're a long way away from being able to truly create original thought out of.
We need to get
it just ranked in the top 1% of creative minds, though. GPT-4 did in this standardized creative mind test. I can't remember what the name of the test is that is, but this was just Friday of last week, right? Where from a creation perspective, it was in the top 1% of humans.
I'd be curious to read more. I will read that study.
I'm always skeptical about that stuff.
Because I would have to understand the word creation and being creative and how that's applied and what that exactly means. Because a large language model is truly a mass collection of data and utilizing basically a very fast version of Google search to be able to find and ascertain some sort of fact that you're trying to get. But if it doesn't know how to applicably apply that in the real world, there's a lot of times where it just rams through certain things, right?
We need to get some AI, like companies who are leveraging AI well, we need to get them on the pod, because I think that's
an area. I think AI is so broad though, right? Like, and I think that's where I don't like the phrase AI, because like what Jake's talking about and what we were talking about with automation of certain tasks, I think that automation and AI are very different things.
They are very different, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that automating through repositories and large language models is very different than the idea of artificial intelligence.
Well, think about this, right? So like over the last 3 to 5
By the way, I should have changed the title of this.
No, we'll talk AI about macroeconomics. Let's talk about CPI.
Well, I mean, you can't talk about macroeconomics without talking about AI right now anyway.
Right.
Ooh.
Okay. It's just what.
Yeah, one of the biggest transactions in the entire world this year was OpenAI getting invested in.
Well, then, and NVIDIA right behind it, right?
Yeah,
I was about to say NVIDIA.
Hopefully you guys bought your stock.
I did not.
What are you saying, Jake?
It's just interesting to see how, like, when we're talking about also like ESG and governance just across the board, and a lot of those policies are written out more in a ones and zeros, I'll say, in how you're writing something, right? And it's taking out more gut feel in a lot of things.
Yeah.
Right? Which is in some ways is absolutely excellent. Like, hey, let the, like, regardless of background, origin, color, like that, you can pick the right person for the job because they're suited for that. Right. And the other ways, it's the exact opposite, where you might not pick someone and give them that chance because you are compelled as a human to do the right thing and take chances on people because of X, Y, and Z. And so when you start looking into some of this, like AI-driven procurement and AI-driven hiring and all of these things that are just so black and white, for lack of a better phrase, that you actually can automate yourself away from the things that make us human, which is compassion, which is creativity, which is soul, you know, and empathy and purposeful giving of oneself, right? And so we got to be careful with what we blindly agree to. I mean, it's so funny what you had said about the it doesn't automatically like look into the context and just like would read a headline and pull something out. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, that's like the most like common human trait now.
Yeah, I know.
I just scrolled through and now I know everything.
Buddy, I hate the way we digest news now.
Terrible.
It's awful.
It's terrible.
I'm guilty of it because I don't.
Have you guys seen some relaxing of like some ESG standards? I feel like I have over the last year.
I don't know what ESG is. What's ESG? Yeah,
very good.
Taylor, we're not gonna. Yeah.
No. We won't talk about whether they're good or bad. I've noticed that some of the ESG standards that have been put out in environmental sustainability and governance.
Yeah. As it relates to what?
Businesses. We can talk at a different time, Taylor. You can do some research.
Yeah. Okay. Ask ChatGPT.
ChatGPT would give you a great answer. Yeah. That's what it's great at.
I haven't explained it to you like a Taylor Swift song, though, because you can do that.
Ooh.
That's a trick that ChatGPT
does. Yeah. Or have it write you a script for a minute long video you put out on TikTok.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Looking forward into 2024. What are we thinking? Think another. First quarter still kind of mad, maybe ramping up in second quarter. Do we think it's
going to be? I hate the CPI. Can we talk about that?
Sure. CPI.
Consumer price index.
Yep.
I'll vote for whatever presidential candidate says that they're going to change the way that we do CPI. The way that we track inflation in America is just an absolute joke. But
I think everything is an absolute joke right now. Sure. Everything's made up. The numbers don't matter.
Yeah, it's like, whose line is it anyway?
It's whose line is it anyway? Yeah.
That's exactly that thing. Thank you, boys. I appreciate
anyway,
it.
I mean, yeah, I drew Carey.
But it's crazy. Like, the Fed's trying to get it down to inflation 2%. We're at 3%. And, you know, Dan, yeah, you know,
we both take out, if you take out rent and gas.
Right. But, like, right, you know, they talk about this on group chat a lot. It's like, what's the difference between 2 and 3%?
But did you know that you can go and you can do the consumer price index and you can go to like a Publix and you can look at the price of a filet and then they'll go back the next month and maybe they don't have a filet and they'll look at a sirloin and they'll be like, oh, well, the price is down $2. Look, our CPI number's going down. It's like, now we got to do a better job of doing this kind of stuff here. We have too much data to be willy-nilly going to the grocery store and shopping around of whether they have a filet at Kobe or a sirloin. Anyway, 2024 macroeconomics. Jake?
Yeah.
I think that even during the Great Depression, you had 70% of people still working, right? You had some of the largest wealth accumulation in the history happen during the Great Depression by individuals, mm-hmm, right? And so, you know, when you're looking at one thing, you know, in one lens, you can see it as bleak. When you're looking at it in another lens, you know, you can see it as opportunity. And so I think regardless of what it is, you know, by changing our, don't let it, you know, change the pursuit of whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish for yourself and for your business.
It's very motivational.
Change the way that you're pursuing it.
Very motivational.
Yeah. I think that there's going to be, I mean, listen, a lot of people that are watching this are in the IT space. IT experienced double digit growth for at least the last 5 years, right? At least the last three. I think that there needs to be a healthy correction. I think companies are now looking at that. I think right now there's maybe it's a little introspective, maybe it's budgeting, right? But I think a lot of companies now are looking at the value of like, hey, we spent all this money, what are we getting out of it? What's the business need? What's the value to the business? So I do think that IT is gonna be doing well, right? There's still a lot of money, still a lot of opportunity out there, but I do think that the pace is gonna potentially slow down a little bit as businesses try to determine overall
so
value.
You don't think we've slowed, you mean slow down even more than it is right now?
Say what?
Yeah, slowing down is relative though, right? It's
right.
Like,
yeah.
It's right. Like we went well over the speed limit for a few years.
We were going 200 in a 35 mile.
Yeah.
Right. But that Jake makes a great point, Jake, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but like you can't have double digit growth forever, right? And it's just not feasible. And things are going to slow down. It is still well above the speed limit.
Okay, you would consider even right now not a slowdown.
I think that we are slowing down. I don't think that we are like below the speed limit, if you will.
So when do you think we'll get below the speed limit?
I think that there's too much.
There's a few outliers that could cause that. You've got war. You've got the devalue of the dollar based off of the move away from the U.S. dollar being purchased, used to purchase oil.
But it's back up now, like the dollar.
Well, it is, but now you have to
I'm talking about. Yeah, there's some other stuff that, you know, that could be a pretty big outlier in there. But if
somebody goes, summer of savings has become frugal fall. I don't know who that is, but that's funny.
You never heard of summer of savings?
Oh, no, I know SOS.
Jake, outside of those points, I think that obviously you're going to see a lot with automation. You're still seeing a ton with data. Cybersecurity is still huge. There's still a lot of application development. There's obviously a lot of moves to the cloud and those kind of things. So there's still a lot of IT opportunity out there. I think it's just changed a little bit. I think that there's a little bit of less on the design side than there used to be. I think that there's fewer pet projects, you know, pre-revenue, trying to figure out if there's a profit avenue there, right? We've seen Google, we've seen Meta, Facebook, whatever. We've seen some large companies scale a lot of that back recently. I don't think that R&D is getting scaled back, you know, blanketly across the board, but I do think that there's going to be a little bit of a pullback there because we've already seen it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I
got to bounce. What are your thoughts?
Other than bouncing 3 minutes for another meeting, I don't know, man.
Good talk.
Yeah. I think
we'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
So Shit, I don't know, man. Bye. Yeah. I think, I mean, there's still layoffs happening. Slalom just laid off a ton of their staff.
That's their first layoff in history.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. I talked to 20
at a years
conference last year, and they're like, yeah, like we finally started laying off people that were on the bench for 6 months. I was like, Jesus Christ.
I mean, we held near like $11 billion. So,
yeah. So, you know, that's still happening. You know, I'm still seeing, here's the deal. I think it's very convoluted right now because I'm seeing a lot of posts about being laid off, but I'm also seeing a lot of posts about finding jobs.
Tons. I feel like everyone's finding a new job.
There's still a lot of jobs out there. I think the pace has slowed down, and I don't think it's like I think hiring has slowed down.
Garrett
right.
makes
yeah, really I think it's headline reading. There. Big tech went ape shit and laying people off, and everybody thought the sky was falling.
But remember in 2020, we were telling everyone they're going ape shit and over hiring.
Right.
They lowered
we've had a pretty good I will give like all of us props. We have been very
Nostradamus.
Okay. All right.
Well, I like Garrett makes a good point in there to be aware of coming into this. The ransomware stuff has been insane.
Really?
Yeah.
This year. And it's only getting worse. I don't know. Like some of the, even the social engineering aspect with the rise of, well, AI, when it's, you know, you can spin up a bunch of fake humans in an hour and start just poking at people on Discord and poking at people on Twitter, poking at people on the texts. You know, and pretending to be someone, that's crazy.
There you go. That's crazy.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
That was fun. We should do it again, us three again, maybe like before the next year.
We should throw out some topics to survey.
Yeah.
Maybe topics that you can talk about, Taylor.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's more fun asking y'all questions because I get to learn from y'all.
You're a good host.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. Sweet. All right, y'all. Well, guys, thanks again for joining in today. Scott, Narando, Nathan, I appreciate all the comments. Garrett. I believe we're going to try to be back next week. Our guest is actually at this conference that I'm going to next week. So we'll see how that turns out. Worst case, it'll just be us three again. But I am working on a bunch of guests for the fall. So
cool.
Appreciate you, boys. Y'all, thanks for tuning in to Unicorn Finders. We'll see you next week. Peace.